This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It's Hour 5 of the Nation. Jared Sandler's coming up in about 20 minutes. Okay, the Bob Vulgaris line. Vegas Bob, former Mavs executive. He kind of became Cube's right-hand man, kind of squeezed out Donnie Nelson. Most of you remember the Vegas Bob story. Luka didn't like him. Said Luka's diet was a red flag for him. But everybody was terrified of telling Luka.
There we go.
So he said he went to leadership saying Luka's tea and lemonades that he would mix up are liquid death. That's what Vegas Bob was so upset with over Luka's diet.
Mm.
Tea and lemonade.
Sugar.
Right?
All that sugar, yeah.
Oh, he. I mean, sure, it's not ideal.
No.
But if is that what we're freaking out about?
That's,
was that part of why Luka's not a Mav?
No.
I mean, I was thinking like, chain smoking cigarettes and having a pony keg before tip off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might somewhat justify it.
Yeah, but if that's all it is, then he must be doing a ton of it because he's very clearly and obviously out of shape, like at least 50% of the time.
Yeah.
So he's either got a ridiculous addiction to that one drink right there, or that's just a small part of all the other things that he's also consuming.
I would hope so, you know, but when I clicked that link today, like it's been revealed what the Mavs Vegas Bob's biggest concern was. I'm like, dude, you're going to have to do better than that if you want to sell Mavs fans that this was a good idea. Anyway, Vegas Bob was told to stay in his lane, Brian.
I just don't think that there was a connect between Luka's staff, personal staff, and the front office. I think that's where this really came down to.
Sounded more like a concession staff there on Luka's.
Well, yeah, that you know. A matter of fact, if you remember, there was a small little
snacks team,
a small a tweet that said that the Lakers had accepted Luka's staff had come along, you know, all these guys had come along. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest problem. I don't think it had anything to do with diet or anything like that. I think there was just a disconnect about how you keep Luka in shape and how do you treat Luka when he gets hurt.
Yeah, and I think there's a disconnect as well. And it happened to the Rangers when they, you know, squeezed Nolan Ryan out, mm-hmm. where you get intellectuals that can bring a new level of expertise to a sports team. Sure. And the next thing you know, analytics are all we're doing instead of listening to greats. Sure. Right now, all we're doing is nutrition and gambling advice instead of, hey, you know, and I think what happened with the Rangers in baseball, it was no coincidence they became one of the worst franchises post Nolan Ryan.
Sure.
You know, I appreciate your insights, and I'm not anti-intellectual at all. Yeah. The problem is when you have sports guys that get squeezed out, what you need to do is like, hey, we want to get more in line with the gambling analytics and the nutrition. Use that as part of your staff. You can't let these guys take over.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, what they really needed was Mark Cuban, who had related more to the jocks and had been around for 2 decades.
I think that. One of the things that probably with the front office and maybe with ownership and stuff like that was, and maybe even with Nico, that, you know, that he had grown to the point where, like, he didn't need Mark Cuban's help anymore. And so maybe there was some resentment there. Like, listen, and he was a guy that, you know, Mark, and most owners do, they coddle their superstar players. And so, you know, it's hard to, when you want to say, hey, we have to change his diet, we have to change this, he's going out all the time, we have to do this. And it's, you look at Ezekiel Elliott, just for an example. Yeah. Jerry Jones relates to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
He does. He relates in going in the front door and leaving out the back door.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. He relates to that. So it's harder when you want to make a change, when Nico says, listen, for our team to be better, he's got to be in shape. He's got to adhere to what our training staff is asking him to do. He's got to find a way to be in the weight room.
But what I'm saying is those people like that that are new, they fall in love with what they're bringing instead of respecting what's worked.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones knows players are going to drink.
Yeah.
And if they're great, you got to let them do their lives and be amazing for you on game day anywhere. Here's the Chief with a Friday news dump for you.
Yes, well, let's add to it with the Mavericks situation. People are wondering now at this point if the Mavericks are just simply addicted to terrible PR, because everything they've done post-Luka trade has been pretty much an unmitigated disaster, tone deaf as all hell, out of touch as can be. And then today, the Mavericks Twitter account, social team, they put out a nice, like, Mavericks hype video, music video, a new Mavericks song from Durow, and it's like a Mavs anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the video, you see different clips and highlights of the team making plays and whatnot. But everybody quickly noticed during the video, whenever they would show clips from when Luka was here, if Luka was in any way on the screen during a particular snippet highlight, they would censor him in a couple of different ways. They would either just like completely like color him out and turn his body into like a green, neon green color or whatever. Ooh. Or they would just put the Mavericks logo like over his face. If he was sitting on the bench during a play and the whole bench is going crazy, he's one of them, but they cover up Luka. And then everybody's like, well, what about all the other guys that are no longer on the team?
Ooh.
But did they get covered up? And you see former Mavs like Josh Green, Maxi Kleba, and Quentin Grimes, and they are not censored in any way during the clips in the music video. It's just Luka that is. And so Mavs fans, of course, it's just like more insult to injury right now. It's like, why wouldn't you just simply not use any footage that just has Luka in it at all? Just don't show it, and then it's not as much of a thing.
I mean, you got three quarters of Anthony Davis highlights to choose from.
Yeah, and they made the most of those. It was like, wow, we're doing this one again. It's all we really have to work with. But all the throwback clips where guys like Luka and Josh Green, Kleba, Grimes, only Luka was the one that was censored out of them. Like, they're just trying to completely erase him from Mavericks history.
They got no idea what they're doing. They don't know how to relate to Dallas. You got to get some sort of leadership involved. Maybe listen to Jason Kidd more. I don't know what you do, but the CEO, the GM, the owner now, they're all out of staters trying to figure out what it is to be a Texan while running one of the five most important sports franchises in the state. Unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you, it just adds more excitement. I mean, next Tuesday we're in Surprise and we're going to get Lakers Mavericks. Now it's going to be in Los Angeles. I think we have to wait till April for the Lakers to come to the AAC, and that's going to be a huge moment, of course. Luka's return to Dallas, but just Lakers Mavs right now is going to be a huge topic of conversation in lead up, and then we'll be able to gather around a television together, perhaps in the backyard of Jared Sandler. He's got a nice little crib. I'll have to chat with him about that coming up here in a few minutes. Jared's got a nice little spot out there.
Looks nice.
Like he's got a little house, a couple of bedrooms. Might have to crash there. The backyard looks like a party backyard. They got the cornhole set up. They got the grill. They got the fire pit. Got the TV there on the back porch. So maybe we all just party at Jared's, grill out and chill out, and hopefully the Mavs get the win. But also, it's going to be fireworks.
That sounds amazing.
That might be Luka's first game where he actually looks like himself in a Lakers uniform, because to date it's been tough sledding in the first few games. Obviously, he's still probably in utter shock about the entire trade, and he's still trying to, you know, knock some rust off after he's been out for a while overcoming the calf injury. But I would imagine on Tuesday you will get I the Tiger Luka, Assassin
Luka. Yeah, I was expecting it the other night when they, you know, played the first game out of the break against the Hornets. I was shocked. You know, I think the other night it was more just about missing shots than it was his energy or his approach to the game.
Yeah, yeah. The whole fit right now, trying to the Austin Reeves stuff. You have Austin Reeves, Luka, and LeBron, all somewhat ball dominant players, trying to fit all that. And then you can also tell the void defensively that they have without Anthony Davis now. Like, their entire defense was structured around, hey, just let everything funnel into the big man rim protector, and now they don't have that, and the blow-bys are just ridiculous. Luka, of course, being a part of that. But,
yeah,
the Lakers, they don't have a shot in terms of actually competing for a title this year. But
I mean, I guess they have Dorian Finney-Smith as much as you want to put him on the court. Jared Vanderbilt, Jackson Hayes, Rui Hachimura, but you know, I don't think Dorian was ever an elite defender. He was always just pretty good, and there's a downside to that. So if I'm LeBron right now, I'm thinking, if I want to win a championship, I got to get out of here. And if I'm the Lakers, I'm thinking, we need to just get Luka and totally tear this thing down, because Luka's the kind of player, like Allen Iverson, that can take a team to the finals, but he needs a roster very specifically built to cover his weakness and optimize his strengths. And the team that AI took with the 76ers to the finals in 2001 was not full of, you know, anything resembling a secondary star, but they were all smart players, great defenders, could hit open shots, and ultimately the rim protector there in Dikembe Mutombo that kind of allowed him to just play his game and not have to worry about what he couldn't do.
It's kind of crazy to see Luka as food out there.
Yeah.
Because LaMelo Ball?
Yeah.
I want to see another pick. Yeah. See another pick until he got Luka isolated, and then it was put him on skates. Mm-hmm. Every time he went down there, pick, isolated, skate him up.
Yeah, if I'm DeMont and Nico, I'm pulling clips from that game, and I'm saying, hey, Jason, can we do this Tuesday night?
Yeah, let's attack this.
Yeah.
That will be interesting. Is Kyrie going to pull a LaMelo Ball and just wait until he finally gets the matchup for Luka to switch on him and then go dance on him? That's going to be cinema, bro. That's going to be awesome.
And he's capable of doing it.
He absolutely is. What he did to Wemby the other night during the All-Star festivities.
Shot didn't fall,
He smoked the layup. You're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he went dancing on him.
How intense is Luka's defense? Like, is this playoff defense, Luka? You know, will he answer the call and want to show something?
You'd have to
imagine. I would imagine so.
Yeah, you'd have to imagine. If I'm Luka, I'm honestly thinking like, hey, keep me out for all weekend. Let me just be as fresh as possible for this Tuesday game. And then just go balls to the wall for four quarters.
It's hard to say with these European guys, though, how much they really care about that. You know, I'm thinking with my American toxic sports brain, like, I've been shown up. I have to get out there and avenge myself in front of the entire country. He might just be like, whatever. You know, we're going to go for some beers afterwards and maybe split a pizza at halftime.
Yeah. Lakers fans are not going to appreciate that if that is the emotional energy that they're getting out of Luka on Tuesday night. Now, elsewhere in the NBA, I did want to note, you have the Wemby news, of course, super sad. Hopefully everything works out for him. He's going to be out for the next 6 months. He gets the blood clot news yesterday. So he's out the rest of the season, pulls him out of the running for Defensive Player of the Year because there's a threshold of games. And he was a surefire lock, huge favorite. He was absolutely going to be this year's DPOY.
You had to bet $2,000 to win $100 last week on Wemby.
Yeah, heavy favorite, surefire lock up until now. Of course, he's out for the season, so now it's up for grabs, and the new favorite is Jaren Jackson Jr. of the Memphis Grizzlies, and this actually has some Mavs implications as well. We already talked about the idea that maybe they're going to punt on Ja Morant this summer, but financially, what this does for Jaren Jackson Jr., he goes from being eligible for a four-year, $147 million max extension to, if he wins the Defensive Player of the Year, he becomes eligible for a five-year, $345 million super max extension.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
So that's $32 million per season. That's $200 million over the life of the contract. You're talking about a completely different situation now for the Memphis Grizzlies. Now they're going to potentially have to fork up even more. Mm-hmm. But then for Jaren Jackson Jr., like, he's in the sweet spot now. His money just, I mean, $200 million over the life of the deal is what he's basically now going to be able to, assuming he locks up the the DPOY award.
We're going from 150 mil to a third of $1 billion. We're more than doubling the guarantee if we get this done. I don't know what the Grizzlies should do. I mean, he's a very good player. He's become their leading scorer over Ja Morant now. But 23-6 for, what is that, $70 million a year, $65 million a year? That is a massive money. Chunk
massive,
of change.
Massive, yeah.
He's not going to lead you to a single playoff series victory. Jaren Jackson Jr. will be part of a very good team. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have him on the Mavericks or any other contender. Here's our power forward. Good luck matching up. But, man.
Yeah, that's going
to
be.
Maybe we have to shift expectations with the growing cap. It's all a percentage of the cap, but I think that's too much. If I'm the Grizzlies, is that what you're kind of getting at? Like maybe they want to move on from him?
Well, yeah. You're like, you can't have many of those guys. I mean, the Mavericks were scared about handing that same contract to Luka.
Yeah.
And for different reasons with Jaren Jackson Jr., you could see the Memphis Grizzlies, because now with all the salary cap restraints and the new CBA and how difficult it is, if you have one of those huge supermax deals on your roster, it limits you and everything else you can do. So if that guy's not 100% worth it, you have to make some business decisions.
I mean, it's MVP candidates in the prime. We got Jokic, Giannis, KD, and LeBron in their prime, Steph Curry in their prime, but they're old now.
Exactly.
You know, I can't do this for just anybody. I think that's a major pitfall. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir. There it is.
Friday news dump for you in the G-Bag Nation. Now, we usually do at 6 o'clock a proper round trip where we go around the bases here on your home of the Rangers. We did not tonight because Jared Sandler joins us next to reflect on day one of Rangers spring training and more. That's coming up next year, the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers. Spring training baseball is underway, and check out this. Jared Sandler joining us now from Surprise, Arizona. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call Franklin Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, as at Jared Sandler on Twitter, joins us now here on your home of the Rangers. Hey, buddy.
What's up, guys?
Well, tell us about the first spring training game today. It kind of looks like the starting lineup nearly got no hit. A couple of ABs apiece. I don't see a lot of hits.
No, not a lot of offense. It was a really quick game. It was barely over 2 hours. You know, there really wasn't anything like super notable or eventful. You're right. I mean, just not a lot of action offensively. And it wasn't like there were line drives that were caught or balls hit to the warning track. It was just kind of a pretty quick game with not a lot of offense, and the offense the Rangers did have was later in the game, so it didn't really involve guys you figure to be a big part. But I'll tell you, if forced to make any sort of an observation that could have bigger meaning to it, it's the first time I've seen Robbie Ahlstrom, unless maybe I saw him briefly as a just-in-case player last year, and I don't think he's a guy who's going to make the opening day roster, but we know that, you know, you go into the minors for depth options out of the bullpen throughout the year. And he's a guy who who maybe could be an option. He's the guy they acquired when they traded Jose Trevino a couple years ago. He's a lefty out of Oregon, and he looked pretty good. I liked what I saw, so I'm interested to see him the next few times he takes the mound.
Is it going to get pretty exciting in the stadium when DeGrom or Rocker pitch? Like, what will generate excitement from your perspective and through the press box when we get a chance to take a look?
Yeah, I mean, I think watching DeGrom will be a blast. And I don't know how often he's going to pitch in an A game versus a B game. The B game is, you know, I know you guys know this, but for people listening, you know, when they start having scrimmages with other teams on the backfields, it's a more controlled environment. You know, in those situations, you could roll over an inning. So if DeGrom's at, or anyone's at, like 20 pitches, you can just say, hey, you know, inning over. You can't do that in a Cactus League game. But yeah, I'm really excited to see him. I'm excited to see Rocker. I just think that there's a different level of energy with DeGrom, healthy again, and you know, hopefully he stays healthy, and hopefully he's able to, you know, be an impact pitcher from start to finish for the ball club. But he just there. I hate to bring this up because I know we're all still mourning the Luka loss, but like one of the cool things about having Luka was he was one of those guys, right? It's like there's always this energy and excitement. Like what could he do tonight? And Jacob DeGrom is one of those guys, so it'll be fun to see him back on a mound.
So you're saying there's positive energy in the clubhouse more than you remember at the end of last year? No hangover from that disappointing season?
No, and I don't know if you guys saw Josh Young's comments. And, you know, I know everyone has opinions. Like, you know, do you just kind of play middle of the road? Or, I mean, nothing that he said is like, you know, a crazy thought that, you know, they want to develop a culture of kicking people's butts and having fun doing it. But there is a confidence with this group, and their roster, guys, is pretty impressively built from a depth standpoint. Now, there are questions about the ninth inning, but I don't think, and this can all change with a snap of a finger, obviously, the bullpen is very volatile, but the bullpen itself as a unit is a pretty deep group. Chris Young said this over the offseason. He said, you know, I feel like we've raised the floor of the bullpen, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I think that's a perfect way to put it. They might take some time to figure out who's best in what role, but I think this is going to be a really good group. There's a lot of depth in the bullpen. Their rotation has depth. Their lineup has depth. It's a pretty impressively built roster. You just obviously we need guys to stay healthy and see what they can put together.
Speaking of health, what's the thought on Wyatt Langford right now?
Yeah, so, you know, he got an MRI, and the results of the MRI show a mild left oblique strain. Now, I will use this disclaimer. Obviously, with any injury, no matter what is said, until you actually see the guy back on the field, you know, it's status pending, right? But Bruce Bochy has never really, like, he made a point to say, yeah, this is not going to impact opening day, which I thought was an interesting thing to say. Because Boch is usually pretty calculated with the way he discusses a player's injury. And I don't feel like I remember with the Nathaniel Lowe injury last year, he did not come out and say that. You know, he probably said something, you know, we're going to continue to monitor the situation. Now, Wyatt Langford is going to resume baseball activity in 5 to 7 days. There, like he could take 2 weeks off, and that could, you know, in all likelihood still put him in position to be ready for opening day. But he's got to get back out there. You got to see how the body responds. And, you know, hopefully this is not something that lingers. You know, he, for a swinger, and we're starting to see more and more oblique injuries for position players, you know, the last thing you want to do is rush him back, make him feel uncomfortable, get his swing out of sorts. And not only then would the results not be there, but maybe he re-injures it. So, you know, you'd love for him to run out there on opening day, but you got to be smart. Now, if in a week he's able to resume baseball activity and have no issue, then all right, you know, it's whatever. You know, this is just a mid-February spring training precaution. I mean, I think we got to wait and see a week. But, you know, the word privately, not just publicly, the word privately is not one of any level of concern right now. So I guess that's encouraging, but always want to wait to see the guy back out there before we know for sure.
Jared, I want to ask you an Eovaldi question, but I'm just curious. Did you have any pitches that were challenged today?
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. First game with the automatic ball strikes technology utilized. It's going to be utilized in the five combo parks in spring training. So those are the five ballparks that are host to two teams.
Yeah.
So obviously the Rangers share with the Royals. And so this is not something, just to be clear, this is not something that will be used in the major leagues this year, but I'd be awfully shocked if it wasn't used starting in 26. And they're using a challenge system. So each team gets two challenges. The only people who can challenge are the pitcher, the catcher, or the hitter. So a base runner can't challenge. A coach can't challenge. Someone from the dugout can't, you know, encourage a player to challenge. They've got to make the decision pretty much instantly. So there's no, like, give me a two count. Like, it's got to be an instant decision, and you get two challenges, or you get two misses, basically. So you can challenge eight times if you get, you know, your first six correct. So the Rangers actually were the only team to challenge. It was executed very seamlessly. I actually stopwatched it on the second one. So assuming I was 2 seconds slow, because there's no way to, like, predict it, it took about 11 seconds. So they challenge. The umpire announces it to the crowd, which I think is important so that, you know, they're not lost. On the video board, they show an animation of the pitch coming in and then the result of the location. The umpire immediately, you know, provides the ruling to the fans, and you get going. I mean, it was pretty simple. The Rangers won one challenge and lost one challenge. They won one and lost two. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Bochy, prior to the game, joked that they're having a competition. There's going to be a winner and a loser, the person who is the most and least successful in challenging. He didn't share what the winner or loser received or what the repercussion was, but I can imagine there's some money involved. But I think teams are going to have fun with it, but also use it as a way to just get a sense of how this is going to work and preparation for 2026, because it does seem like a challenge system is coming.
What is the error ratio or whatever? Like, is this tech perfect?
Yeah, so they've been rolling this out. I mean, you know, for minor league or guys who have played in the minors recently, this isn't anything new for them. And I think the margin for error is like inside of like 0.0001% or something. I mean, they did a whole presentation with the data. I think that's a part of the reason why it's taken so long to even get it to this point, to where it's, you know, utilized in exhibition games at this level. But yeah, I think it's the same technology that tennis uses, right? So when you see, big time points adjudicated in a grand slam, and, you know, there's total trust in that. I mean, it's the exact same Hawkeye technology. The results, I think last year in AAA, for the hitter, I think the hitter is right about 49% of the time. And I think when the catcher challenges in favor of his pitcher, which is usually the way it works. I've heard from teams saying, hey, I know the pitcher can challenge. We don't want the pitcher to challenge because they're usually a little more emotional about the decision.
Yeah.
And so when the catcher challenges, though, I think it's a little bit more than 50%. So the data has not swayed significantly one side or the other. But Gavin, to your question, I think that the technology is pretty spot on, after nursing it over the last few years.
What do you think about long-term replacing the umps? Like, is it perfect and instant?
It is. Now, I'll tell you, in Major League Baseball has spent the last few years rolling this out and getting feedback. They've gotten feedback from players, they've gotten feedback from coaches, and they've gotten feedback from fans. And there are three options that they present to the fans. Three options that they present in this polling. One option is that you don't do anything differently. It's just human umps, and, you know, the way the game's played now is remains. The second option is a challenge system, and the third option is total technology, right? So the home plate umpire is there to make calls at the plate, but that's it. And the option that has received the most positive feedback is the challenge system, and the option that has received the strongest dissent is the full technology system. And that's the one that also, not only was it the one of the three that got the least favorable reading in terms of implementation, it was the one that got the strongest response in terms of, like, which one do you like the least? I know that might, you know, seem like they go hand in hand, but I guess there's a way it could have, you know, not totally been that symmetrical. So I don't think that they're going to totally get rid of the umpires calling balls and strikes. And even, you know, I've talked to a lot of hitters and catchers and pitchers. Catchers don't want that because it diminishes a skill set that they've been working on for years, which is framing,
yeah.
You know, the art of deception. Yeah. And then pitchers and hitters, even after a game or the day after a game, like, I'll go up to a hitter who, you know, clearly got screwed on a call in a big moment, and I'll talk to them intentionally the next day, because I'm not able to get into the clubhouse after the game with post-game stuff. And I'll ask them, like, you know, about what they want. And almost always they say, no, I don't want total control, balls and strikes. A challenge system sounds good, but I don't want total control. And so, I don't think that the human element is going to go away. But I do think that there's going to be a system put in place, which at least allows, if you play your cards right, to protect yourself in big moments when you feel like, you know, you're getting hosed by, you know, just a human error.
We got a little Mavs-Lakers Tuesday night watch party going down at Casa de Sandler on Tuesday, or what?
Let's do it. Yeah. Hey, let's do it. I'm excited to have you guys over. Should be a lot of fun. I think I could be wrong, and Gavin will maybe have some recollection of this, maybe not, because it's been long. I might be living in the same neighborhood we lived in when I walked home from that fateful day on the slab.
Do you got to go in, like, through a gated community?
Was that a gated community? Then maybe not. Yeah. It's not a gated community. But if it's not that neighborhood, then I think it's pretty close.
I was just going to say, last time you hosted a Mavs watch party was...
Oh, yeah.
Basketball ended.
Basketball ended right there.
Yep. Sports ended as we knew
it. We were playing pool?
Yep.
Yeah, how about that?
We're going to be playing cornhole in your backyard this time, dude. Let's grill.
Yeah, man. Yeah, cornhole, grill, a pool. I'm looking forward to having you guys. What do you guys get in Sunday?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Broadus was talking about chicken fights in the pool.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely in. Only if Broadus is on top. If I get a partner with Broadus, I'll let you. He's got a longer reach than me. We're going to be unstoppable.
You know, Broadus is usually a bottom, but he'll probably
you just made G-Bag of the Day for saying that, by the way.
Okay. Well,
mid-season form, Jared. Yeah, nice work, dude.
Way to go.
Thanks, Jared. Have a great night. We'll see you Sunday night, buddy.
See you, fellas. Looking forward to it.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter here in the G-Bag Nation as the Rangers.
He likes Broadus on top because Broadus has a bigger reach or something like that. That is crazy.
It's the length.
Bigger reach.
That is nuts.
When we come back, it's time to crosstalk with the Fan After Dark. See what these boys have cooking here for you on a Friday night. And we're back. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We're about to hand it off to the Fan After Dark. Was disappointed that Sandler told us the players are voting the least for full-time robo-umps.
Yeah.
I mean, he told you the margin of error is less than 0.001%. It's instant. These guys are always so mad at the umpires.
Always.
You have a chance to fix it permanently right now. But their fear of change and anything that goes against their traditions of baseball, I think they're just groupthunk into paralyzation. Fred, how the hell are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Great show today, as always, guys. Sounds good.
Haircut, Fred?
You look at me for like that, Brian.
What happened? Haircut today?
I had a haircut Wednesday. Had a haircut Wednesday. Got the beard trimmed, you know.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Change is necessary. Change is necessary.
Yeah.
In all walks of life. We saw a change of tradition today with the Yankees with their facial hair policy. So are the people that are in this voting, are pitchers also in this voting that Jared was talking about?
Yeah, I guess this was all players. You could do nothing. You could go with challenges, which are annoying. They stop down the game. Or you could go full robo-umps, and nothing got the second most votes. They like the challenge system, so at least we'll get that.
I just feel like, just going into the survey, if all the players were surveyed, I don't know how many of it was every player, a collection of players, but the vast majority of of a team would be pitchers, right? There's a good amount of pitchers on every team.
There's about 35% of the pitchers.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. If every 35% 40. Is, I guess it could still weigh out the other way. I don't know. I'm just saying a lot of people, I mean, a lot of the voters are obviously the pitchers.
Are you trying to do the math there for a minute?
No, I'm just saying a lot of the people there are the pitchers. So they might have been the ones that don't want the robo-umps because then they can't have catchers framing calls. And yeah. It's obviously goes against them if there's robo-umps. They would rather it be an umpire back there.
So you think this is pitchers voting in a giant block? We can't have this.
I mean, that's the only thing I can come to. I don't know why you wouldn't want robo-umps. I mean, I think I would like that as a viewer. It speeds up the game. There's less bias. All the people defending it really have no good emphasis on it. They're like, every umpire has their own strike zone. Okay? Is that a good thing that we don't
that's
have?
A bug more than a feature.
And people love that. So, but, you know, baseball fans have always been stuck in their traditions. They don't like to change, and it's the reason the sport is not inclining the way the other sports are. This is what it is.
I could see that the older fans, right? Mm-hmm. Every year,
but are they the ones voting?
Goes. I don't think so. No, it's younger guys that should. I believe it be embracing technology, yeah. Fred. It makes no sense to me.
I think it goes back to what you guys were saying, though. I think change is hard, and I think there is. Plus, I think there's a kind of a relationship, right, when it comes to the umpires, and I mean, and plus too, like what they're 95% most of them, or at least when it comes to accuracy. Yeah. That they get graded on week in, week out. I mean, outside of what our boy Angel Hernandez, who's...
And there's a C.B. Buckner is another one that's not very good.
So, you know, I mean, look, we throw stones and arrows at him.
Yeah.
And those two. And then everybody else, we kind of just leave alone.
Why do they not have a report where, like, if your percentage is so low
every year?
No, they do, but why don't you get released from your job?
Well, I think you get demoted.
That Angel Hernandez, is he still calling major league games?
I think he retired.
He retired? Okay. The other guy that you spoke about, is he still calling games?
I think Buckner's still calling games.
It makes no sense. Very powerful union.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. I'll tell you what, baseball.
Well, their union's like stupid then. If you can keep having bad calls and keep calling high leverage games, that's stupid.
Tell that to Jimmy Hoffa.
No, you're right.
I don't get it.
I think they should. You know, not
damn.
Stupid.
He has no idea who Hoffa is.
I have to say, you threw a pitch at him he couldn't hit. You know who Jimmy Hoffa is?
No, okay. No, I've never heard the name of my life.
Okay.
Very powerful Teamsters, right?
Teamsters.
Yeah. What are the Teamsters? We still don't know where he's at.
A union that had mob ties.
Okay.
You know?
See, I don't know about the mob.
You didn't want to mess with the union back in the day.
Yeah. Christian school when I grew up. I wasn't in the mob talks, you know?
That's right. You were busy.
Straight line.
You were busy.
Punching kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Standing up for kids that were disabled. That's me.
Right.
That's what
that's
I did.
Right. That's what you stand
standing
for.
Standing
right?
up for those who can't stand up themselves.
You took the word.
Come on.
I got so many jokes.
Some of us aren't watching Rambo. You know, we're watching Monsters, Inc. and making sure
Commando.
Kids aren't getting bullied.
Thank you very much. Commando.
You didn't watch Rambo, though?
No. Oh. I'm an Arnold guy.
First Blood?
Don't you S on John Rambo? I'm not saying John Rambo's not great.
But you said you haven't seen
it. You got to choose between John Rambo or John Matrix. What are we doing?
So you have or haven't seen Rambo?
Never seen it.
Then how are you judging it?
Huh? I mean, I've never seen it in its entirety. I saw enough to know that I didn't want to see anymore.
Wow. Mm. Rambo 1, Rambo 2 is about all you need.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
But again, the one-liners.
Did you say you're a John Wick guy?
No. John Matrix.
John Matrix.
Commando.
Oh, okay. All right.
Huh? He could smell him.
Commando was
smell
great.
Him upstream.
Yeah. I mean,
I was more of a Jeremiah Johnson guy myself.
Jeremiah Johnson.
Chief, do you think you can tell if you're going to be friends with someone based on who their favorite superhero is? I think you can. If someone said their favorite superhero is Superman, I wouldn't be friends with them, unfortunately. And it's a hard truth.
That's weed.
What do you have against Superman?
Just a very basic superhero. And if you're fathoming over some guy who's just big and strong.
You know why Fred likes me? He landed in Kansas. Land crash.
No, I'm not like no. The Superman thing's not.
He directed at me.
He doesn't like Superman.
He came from Kryptonite and went right in the middle of Kansas, and that's what they found.
Who's y'all's favorite superhero?
Probably Wolverine.
Solid take, Chief.
I was always a Batman guy.
Yeah, Batman.
Extra
all
solid
day.
Take.
Yeah. Broadus.
Aquaman.
I will say Iron Man.
I thought he was
going
to say a superhero I'd never heard of. I was
Iron wondering. Man deserves some love.
That's a bit.
What?
Bad one, too.
Aquaman, he talked to the fish.
Yeah,
come on.
Talk to the whales.
Hey, I'm a fisherman. Oh, I talk to fish. I like
okay,
Aquaman.
Mr.
What's the problem?
Limpet?
What?
The Incredible Mr. Limpet?
Oh, that was a good show.
Yeah, I know. You probably
Don
identified
Knotts
with that guy.
Don Knotts played Mr. Limpet. Yeah, you're right.
Silver Surfer. That's another great ad. I'd put that in my top three. Green Lantern. Yeah.
Green Lantern?
Yeah, he's legit.
What was his power?
Green? And wasn't he black?
You just completely.
He
was green,
ring,
wasn't
right?
he black? That's your answer?
Yeah.
He was green, wasn't he black?
Like, he had a Green Lantern, and he was black, so I'm supporting. Let's go Green Lantern.
Wow.
I
can't
know.
Pick a fight with that.
I don't understand what the guy
Green Lantern, did he have a ring, a special kind of ring?
I think so. Yeah. What's the person in electricity? Thunder. Storm? Storm? Was that a girl?
She would raise hell.
Yeah. Shout out to Storm.
Yeah.
Okay. I know
about
my superheroes.
Wonder Woman.
What's coming up on the show tonight, boys?
Great question.
Great question. We're debating on if we're going to do Tolos on the telephone. We'll throw that out to our guy Blake here as to whether he's going to do that or not.
I vote
they
no.
Hate you out
still
there,
in the
they?
Planning process.
We do well. That no. That was the only. As you can see, I mean, look, I went to work today. Okay, that is
wow.
a show layout. If I and then notes here. By the way, did you guys know that if our boy Zach Martin gets could make history if he gets elected to the Hall of Fame first ballot.
How so?
No right guard in the history of the National Football League has ever been inducted in the Hall of Fame on his first shot.
Oh, wow.
Okay, we got four guards that have been inducted in the Hall of Fame,
John
all left
Hannah.
Guards.
Only
okay.
four guards?
First ballot.
Okay,
first ballot.
All right, well, I like
but
his
you
chances.
Guys should, but you
was
guys
Randall
should.
Was Randall McDaniel first ballot Hall
negative,
of Fame?
Negative.
Damn.
Gene Upshaw.
Okay.
Your boy John Hannah.
Okay.
Bruce Matthews. And, of course, we all know who the last guy was.
Larry Allen.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to the show tonight.
Thank
Fan
you,
After Dark, 7 to 11. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control. Of course, a Chia follow and brought us. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until Monday at 2, live from Surprise, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation, Eddie's.